a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna Podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra, and I am excited for you to meet them. Now, at the time of this recording, we just got done celebrating Pentecost, which is kind of like the starter's gun for all who are called, which is all of us, by the way, to go out into the world using the gifts God has blessed us with to do two things. Number one, love him back as much as he loves us. And then number two, share his love with others to build his church, which goes way beyond just the buildings that we drive past on our commutes. And we've each been given certain gifts to do that. Okay. Well, today's guest hit the jackpot. Okay. And not only on receiving an abundance of those gifts, but on how he has really answered the call with a level of creativity, conviction, and inspired but original content that if I weren't so grateful to be on the receiving end of it, I'd be super intimidated by it. Prolific really doesn't even begin to describe both the talent and the sheer output of this fella, okay? The latest manifestation of our guest's gifts and mission to bring Christ to others comes in the form of Song Walk Echoes, a multimodal, multi-channel faith expression and development platform that he created that delivers unique learning experiences combining music, art, scripture, and story as, quote, we recall and revere the legacy of our Catholic lives, end quote. It's just beautiful. So we're going to hear a lot more about that project specifically today, but on the way to that, as a man of God, just walking about the world, our guest is also an accomplished songwriter, a performer, a writer, not only a business leader, but a business owner, a parishioner extraordinaire who holds a master's degree in theology from the Jesuit Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome, okay? Which, by the way, has nothing to do with his day job. He's the kind of neighbor that Jesus originally had in mind, which we'll talk about a little bit later as well. Devoted husband, father of three now grown boys who, as you've rightly gathered by now, has some incredibly big shoes to fill. All right, let's get into today with today's man of man, Mr. Donald Prisby Jr. Hey, Don.
Hey, Jeff.
Anybody call you Donald?
No, they call me worse things, but no, I go by Don.
Okay, yeah, Don. Yeah. Well, and I didn't know you were junior. We'll talk about that a little bit too. So, it's so excited to have you here, and I can't wait to get into this latest endeavor. But I kind of wanted to start before that, and more generally, just with music. Ever since I've known you from afar, you've always been that guy at church and out in the community that's been really, you know, and you've embraced and you share this wonderful gift of music with others. How far back does that go for you?
It goes very far back to my youth, back in multiple instruments, from brass instruments to the piano to the guitar, and just recently, the ukulele. Wow. And I'll tell you something more about that. First of all, there's no way you can be cool while you're holding a ukulele, but I'm trying. But no, it goes way back, and music is just a wonderful way to serve other people.
Yeah.
And that's really
was the what family I've done with like it. Was your family musical growing up?
No, not really. Really? I had five sisters growing up, and none of them are musicians. My father was in the church choir.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't claim that he was a writer or a composer at all.
Yeah.
But no, I got the bug. So I've just been following it.
That's so cool.
I've written a lot of music in my life.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, you know, and St. Augustine, you know, said famously, when we sing, we pray twice. When did you start combining, or when did you find that intersection of your musical talents and your interest in lay ministry? And when did the music and the message come together for you?
It would be back in college, more when I started putting music to more faith story, liturgical expressions, certainly being involved in liturgy and playing at various college masses and whatnot. So I learned a lot about the expression of music within the Catholic tradition.
Yeah.
I also wrote a lot of music that was scriptural, so focused on the scriptures alone. And I watched the maturity of my writing over time, because at first it was somewhat focused just on the scriptural, you know, from the New Testament and the Hebrew scriptures and the Psalms. And then later it became an expression of life. Aww. So when I became a father, the bringing in of children into the world, lullabies that I would write. When we had a miscarriage, I wrote a song about that, about the love for my wife. I've written songs about parish dynamics, and I've written songs about faith journey. So I see that maturity over my lifetime of being less constricted, just focusing on words that were presented to me in the scriptures, to how do I interpret those words? Yeah. How do I live them? And how could I express them in music?
Yeah. When did you, you know, because I think for a lot of listeners, having an interest in, you know, developing just the skills to, you know, play the piano, play the guitar, whatever is something. But then to actually be able to actually write music, you know, write, be a songwriter, take these emotions, these experiences, and then channel them through something that can be sort of memorialized in a piece of art. When did you realize you could do that?
I would go back to my college years.
So in college at the same time. So it all kind of came kind of together at that sort of college.
I've framed it up in the concept of song walk, which you've mentioned earlier, that my life, I would call, if the Father were to ask me someday, what was your life? How would you describe it?
Yeah.
I would say, Lord, I think it was a song walk, because wherever I walked, I saw songs. I saw things to write down. It may be through a conversation like you and I are having, or an experience of nature, or an experience at church. But I would get this, I could feel the tap on my shoulder, and I knew that it would be 5 minutes or 5 months, but I would be writing a song about that.
Yeah.
So song walk is an expression of a vocation that I have to see music and to write it down. Yet it's not as ethereal as it might imagine, because look at what you're doing with your Mana broadcast. That's a broadcast walk. You know, look at people that we know who are healers or business leaders or marketing, or we all have a unique walk in our lives. Mine just seems to be predominantly about music and bringing that to the world.
That's so cool. If you go way, way back to growing up, with your sisters, was before even the music emerged as a way for you to channel that and share that, really that charism with others, was church, faith, was that part of the Prisby family back in the day?
It's always been part of our Prisby experience. Mm-hmm. I lived in a Navy family. My father was a naval officer.
Okay.
So we moved every 2 years to the other side of the country, it seemed, over and over, every 2 years. But I think the most profound foundation for me was we moved back to the same town that my mother grew up in and went to the same church that she went to. And I was taught by some of the same nuns that taught her.
That's cool.
I was an altar boy there. My parents were lectors. My sisters were lectors. So I think that's where I began. The seeds was planted in terms of my faith life.
Yeah, that's very cool. As I mentioned in your intro, you are a junior, which I didn't realize until I noticed on your signature on your email. I'm like, hey, he's a junior. Aside from your dad, who you said, you know, sang in the church choir and was, I'm guessing, presumably a very big influence on your life, you know, from not only just being a dad, but also just the Christian, kind of the head of the church, head of the family church there, for the Prisby experience. I like how you say that. Who were some other guys that you remember when you were growing up who were influential for you?
My uncle Tom, who was my mother's brother, just seemed to be a giant to me when I was young. And he was. He's quite tall. He was a PhD in education, but a man who was very well known in his town and a very wise man in my eyes. And as a PhD in education and as a superintendent of schools, he was both informing and inspiring. So I really enjoyed my time learning from Uncle Tom O'Connor. So he would be one of those men in my life.
That's great. That's very cool. So you have a master's degree in theology, and not just from, you know, the university down the road. I mean, you went to Rome to get your master's degree in theology. Did you have aspirations work-wise? Did you have visions of working more concertedly in sort of like a faith sort of lane in life at some point?
I did. That was a seminary experience.
Okay.
So I loved the church, and I felt drawn to leadership in the church.
Yeah.
And Rome was a wonderful experience of the universal Catholic Church to see it at that level. So I had that aspiration. I left that after 7 years in good standing to move on with my life. And it was only recently that my spiritual director said, you know, you may not have had a priestly vocation, if that's what you discerned, but you have a pastoral vocation.
For sure. Yeah.
And I had never seen that before. But I thought, yes, I do have a pastoral vocation, and I have lived that out over my life.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look at my career in public relations, in marketing, in business development, through healthcare now with the federal government, it's always been very close to being priestly work.
Yeah.
It's listening to people, understanding their needs and wants, and trying to find a solution. So I feel that charism of priesthood, of wanting to serve others, has never left me. It just took a little detour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think back to a phrase by Blaise Pascal, who said, "The heart has its ways that the mind does not know."
Oh, I love that.
And when we follow that, you know, did it make sense to go 7 years in the seminary and then choose a life of sales and marketing? Did it make sense at all to have invested all that time in that? Well, the heart has its ways that the mind does not know. So beyond the objective analytics and, well, that's the way you should go, the heart has its ways. And I embraced that. And it was a terrifying decision to leave that, but it was the right decision.
Yeah.
I like to also guess or joke that when the Father sees me, he'll say, "Okay, so you didn't follow my sign, so now you had to sell signs."
There you go. There you go. I love it. Well, speaking of signs, the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about, I mentioned it again in the intro, being a neighbor that Jesus had in mind all along. You know, you've not only found ways in your day jobs to bring the Holy Spirit to the work in the way that you work, even if it's the most secular of output, but as a neighbor, as a community member, you've done the same thing. And so, speaking of signs, the blessing post was something that you did a couple of years ago, a few years back. Tell us the story about the blessing post. It's just, I think, a wonderful example of bringing Jesus, whether people knew it or not. That's what you were doing as just being a good neighbor. So tell us about the blessing post.
Well, the blessing post has really been a blessing to me in my own backyard. And 5 years ago, about 7 years ago, actually, I was thinking, you know, we live in this world of digital communication, of texting one another, of emails, and we rarely write notes to one another. Remember when you were little and your mom would put a note in your lunch or the Valentines that we used to share with one another at school? We don't write notes to one another. And I thought, what would it be like for me to put a post in my backyard that was adjacent to a path that people could leave a note for somebody and the next person along the path would see it and they would receive it. And then they would leave a note and the next person would receive it. And it was just an experiment. And when I put it out there, you know, I tracked because I provided the forms for the notes that in the first year we had exchanged over 300 notes. And it was just wonderful to see that people would embrace that. After COVID or during COVID, I took the notes away because I didn't want that tactile connection with people. And it was just a chalkboard. And I'd put up a weekly phrase and people would come by and write a response to it. And it's just wonderful. Just today, I looked out and I saw some little kids out there drawing hearts on it because I simply wrote, let's draw a heart.
Yeah.
So it's down close to the floor, close to the lawn where kids can play with it. But I see parents and...
It's still going.
It's still going. Yes. Great. It's just been a wonderful blessing.
That's just, I love that. I love the simplicity of it. And I love just that invitation that you made for people to, exercise our better... not better virtues, but basically help people exercise those parts of themselves that I think a lot of times we just don't get an opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Song Walk because as simple and modest as the blessing post is, on the other end of the continuum, we've got Song Walk Echoes, which is an amazingly impressive, deep, comprehensive. I mean, this is so wonderfully hard to succinctly describe because it really is. It's a, like I said in the intro, it's like a platform. It's multimodal, multi-channel. It seems like it is a bit of a, almost like a magnum opus of yours, you know, after all these years, after all of the music you've written and the thinking that you've done, the writing that you've done. It feels like it's all coming out here in this, you know, sort of symphony. So tell us a little bit about, if you can, where it came from, the inspiration, well, we know where the inspiration came from, but the inception, I guess, of the idea. And just tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do with it.
It's intriguing to look at our lives and to look at the stages of our lives. And I looked at my life and thought, you know, you're in your fourth quarter. You're in the fourth quarter. You're 60 years old. It's the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
How are you going to bring together all of these thoughts and all of these inspirations? And how can you be a teacher? How can you bring this to light so that people can grow in their faith through the faith journey that I've shared in? The critical key in Song Walk and in Song Walk Echoes is the beauty of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. No, the Catholic tradition is so wonderful. And there are so many things that we've experienced it in all of the stages of our lives. And at this fourth quarter stage, I find myself looking back at my life and having great love for the ways that the Church has contributed to me and to my family and in my own faith growth. Mm-hmm. So Song Walk Echoes, to me, is not an opportunity for me to teach and finger wag at people. It's asking people to join me in remembering, in recalling our Catholic faith and the ways, like you, Jeff, have experienced that in your married, professional, and family life. So that's the calling that upon which this was built. I looked at all the music that I've written over the years, and I started to see that it fell into various categories of my Catholic life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's a wonderful way to teach, to use music, and then art, the things that I've seen, Catholic art that I've seen in Rome and in the Middle East when I traveled to Jerusalem or throughout Europe, to bring that forward. And this isn't just art that I'm citing, it's art that I've had an experience with. So music, art, of course the scriptures. And when I mention scripture, I mean three key elements of Catholicism: scripture, the teaching of the church, and the tradition of the church. So when we say scripture, I mean grounded in our Catholic tradition. And then the last is story. What stories can I bring from my faith experience to tie all of that together?
Well, and what I love about, there's just so much to it. But that formula, that you know, the music, art, scripture, and story, what I love about that, and I've shared this with you, is I feel like, and I think we were joking last time we talked about it, you know, as a couple of marketing guys, you broke one of the cardinal rules of any sort of like brand development when you say, well, who's this for? You know, who's Song Walk Echoes for? And it's like, well, it's for everybody. It's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah. You can't be for everybody. But it really is. And I think it's that formula makes it accessible for everybody, whether you're a Bible study leader, an actual, you know, pastor or deacon at a church, just a parishioner, a follower. And so tell me about, you know, so when you describe that, you know, those four, what's been the response that you've been getting from people?
I think that the four elements will give people multiple ways to experience the content. Mm-hmm. So music inspires, and art is a visual that inspires. You know, certainly teaching is more, you know, pedagogical and may not be appealing to all. And of course, story is wonderful. So I think a combination of all of that will be impactful. I do believe that it will also touch the hearts of people right where they are in their faith lives. And if I can make something complicated, I'll make it overcomplicated. So I'm concerned about that, you know, because this is not light material,
yeah.
But nor is faith.
Right.
Faith stretches us in so many ways. And in Catholicism, the whole concept of the Paschal mystery, that we live, we suffer, and we're resurrected, is such a wonderful part of Catholicism. It's expressed in our sacraments. So we get to live that throughout our lives, life, death, and resurrection. It's not just about the ultimate resurrection that mm-hmm. we'll have. But in our lives, how have we experienced sin and separation from our spouse or mm-hmm. our friends or the church?
Yeah.
And how have we reconciled? So how has that rhythm of life, death, and resurrection been part of our lives? So people who have gone through that experience in their lives will look at this material, and I think they'll really identify with it. Yeah. But it's also an invitation to people who may be new to the faith and may want to see the beauty of Catholicism that is new to them or that they've lived their entire lives.
Yeah.
Now, if I were to try to put some marketing earworm around the different concepts that we will introduce in Song Walk Echoes, there are five. One is, how are we made and express our lives as made in the image and likeness of the Creator? That's a fundamental teaching. Secondly, how are we conforming our lives to Christ? That's the second piece. The third is, how do we toss the wealth of self to make space for grace? And that's inviting the Holy Spirit into the process. Fourth is, how can we, like Mary, the Mother of God, be balanced, quiet, disposed, and ready for the next call in our lives? And then the fifth is, how can we be men and women of decision? And not arbitrary decision, but by the virtues that the church teaches. And my favorite of those is prudence. Now, prudence is not a wimpy word. It sounds like a wimpy word. But the person who is prudent is the executor of the call of their conscience to choose good over evil. Jeff, what would that be like for us to be the executors of our conscience to choose good over evil? That's exciting to me. That's not wimpy stuff.
No.
So those five elements are all part of the Song Walk Echo process.
That's I love that. No, you're absolutely right. Prudence, when you look at it like that, it's not only not wimpy, it's also not judgy. You know, sometimes I think when we use the word prudence, you know, if people are prudent, they're not only, you know, choosing to live a certain way for themselves, but there's also a little bit of exhaust that comes from prudence that may also sort of cast judgment on others that aren't necessarily doing that. And I love that definition that you have there of, you know, you're the executor of your own choices. Okay. You're the governor. Okay. Not the, you're not I don't know what the other word, or you're not casting judgment on others. Right. By your decision, you're making that decision for yourself.
Yeah. Well, back to the fourth quarter of life, I realized in this quarter, there's so much in me that I need to fix.
Yeah.
I don't have time to finger wag. So if I can be one who deliberates, who makes judgment and acts, orienting my life to the good. That's a phrase from Aquinas. If I could learn to do that, even in this fourth quarter, even at 60 years old, I still have hope.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Arbiter. That was the word I was looking for. That was it. All right. Hey, let's transition here. I cannot wait. Literally cannot wait for more people to hear more about Songwalk Echoes. And so listeners, stay tuned for more to come on Songwalk. But let us, for the purposes of today's show, let's segue into our fun segment, which is little segment that we have. We close every show with the same three questions, and then we wrap her up. So fun segment question number one: if Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow morning and just wanted to hang out for the day, you got a whole day, just you and Jesus, what are you going to do? I've already got some ideas of how you're going to answer this question, but how are you going to spend your time with Jesus?
I think the Lord might ask, is there anything else we can do? But I would want to show him what I do with the federal government. Lord, I look for solutions to bring to the government to improve patients' lives and to drive down the cost of care. And the Lord would be, is there something else we can do? Well, come over here, Lord. Here I'm working on some music that I've written. I've looked at some of the classics from Mozart and Haydn, and I see in those the Magnificat, the song about your mom when she responded to the angel Gabriel to have you. So I'm working on that too. And he'd say, well, I heard about the blessing bowls. Can we go out there? Is there anything else we could do? Well, that's, Lord, I'm just an impossible dreamer. So I would love to sit down and share with you more about how you've called me and what I can do today.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be a full day. Full day for sure. All right, fun segment question number two. If you could go to church, you go to Mass, with one other man, living or dead, famous or not, could be an impressive man or somebody that nobody's ever heard of, who would that guy be that you're going to go to church with?
I have a classmate from Rome who just recently got appointed as the bishop of Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh my gosh.
And Dave, when I look back at Dave's life back in Rome together when we were just puppies, you know, Dave is a man who loves the priesthood. He absolutely loves the priesthood. And I looked at my life back then and I was still discerning and wondering if this was where I was heading. There was no question in Dave's life that he was called to service. And that there's this ebullient joy in his life to serve. And when he became a bishop, it didn't surprise me that now he is a priest, a father to the other fathers. So I'd love to be at a Mass that Dave is celebrating, but I would also like to bring Dave to a Mass.
Yeah.
The other part of that question I find is also important is you're asking who would I take to Mass? I like to think about who I would take from Mass. And I just love the concept of the Mass of go now to love and serve the Lord, or back to the original Latin, ite missa est. Go, you are commissioned. And I think about that too in our parish dynamics, what it's like to go to Mass, but what it's like to go from Mass with men or women who have the zeal to serve, who have the zeal to be priest, prophet, and king, as we're anointed in baptism, but who are like the guys that you talk to, just ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. All right, fun segment question number three. Wrapping her up here. If you could give, I'm sure you've given much of this, but if you could give just one piece of advice to a younger man about living in as I've been saying this whole episode, you've kind of knocked it out of the park, Don. So you don't necessarily have to give somebody the kind of advice that would result in your extraordinary path and journey. But one piece of advice to a younger guy about just, you know, living a confident, humble, holy life of faith, what would it be?
I'll use an example and then go to what that calling might be. I do an awful lot of reading, and to hold myself accountable, I came up with a theme or a premise that I would read to teach. Mm-hmm. So when I read something, I do it with the discipline of knowing that I would like to teach this material. And typically I'll write an essay about the book, or sometimes an essay about every chapter, but read to teach. So in that context, if I were to give advice to my younger self or to younger men who are coming up, I would say that whatever you do, do it wholly and do it with intentionality and do it completely. Invest yourself in any activity that you have that is oriented to the good. Do it completely. You may look like a fool. You may fail. You may get criticized. Playing the ukulele, lots of criticism there. Do it completely. Because in our world, there's so many distractions, and there's a lot of relativity out there and a lot of, well, what is truth and what isn't truth? But if we live our lives oriented to the good, whether we are podcasting, whether we are serving, whether we are making marketing phrases for companies or selling to the government, do it completely. Do it wholeheartedly. You can't lose. Yeah. You may fail at times, but it won't be a global failure.
Yeah.
There's greatness to be achieved in just being intentionally focused.
Yeah. Don Frisby, thank you so much for being here, for all the work that you've done and are continuing to do. It is truly, it is ordinary, but very, very extraordinary. And we're very blessed to be able to walk with you on your song walk, Echo. So thanks again.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.